Honda says ending UK manufacturing has nothing to do with Brexit. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First, Huawei's founder, in a BBC-exclusive interview, vowed not to let the United States crush his company. Ron Zhangfei said the December arrest of his daughter and company chief financial officer was politically motivated. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has more.
Ron Zhangfei started Huawei 30 years ago with just three people and $2,500. Today, it is the world's largest telecoms equipment maker and sells more phones than Apple. But now the company he spent a lifetime building is under attack, and his daughter's life hangs in the balance. The U.S. says Huawei's kit could be used to spy on its customers and competitors, but Mr. Ren told the BBC that would never happen.
We will never undertake any spying activities, and we will never accept anyone's instructions to install a backdoor. If we take any such actions, then I'll shut the company down.
Mr. Ren also said the U.S.'s attempts to pressure its allies to stop doing business with Huawei would not work.
There's no way the U.S. can crush us. The world needs Huawei because we are more advanced. If the lights go out in the West, the East will still shine. And if the North goes dark, then there is still the South. America doesn't represent the world.
Mr. Ren also said he would continue to invest in the UK despite security concerns expressed by independent agencies. A government review due in April or March will determine whether its kit can be used. Still, questions have been raised about just how independent Huawei can be of the Chinese Communist Party, given that laws there require individuals and citizens to assist the government in intelligence gathering. In Shenzhen, China, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed as Wall Street looks for a lower start after the President's Day break. Meanwhile, Danone, the world's biggest yogurt maker, said cost cuts and healthy eating trends pushed sales last year up nearly 3% from 2017. Shares this morning, though, are lower as it continues to face a consumer boycott in Morocco and weaker Chinese demand for infant formula products. Now, Honda confirmed speculation this morning it will shutter its Civic model manufacturing plant in the UK and stop production in Turkey by 2021. The company says the decision is not related to Brexit, but instead an unprecedented change in the global car industry. Aston Business School professor David Bailey explains what that means for future auto production.
There's going to be a shift towards electric cars in a very big way. Diesel markets in Europe have declined. In this case, they've decided to take investment back to Japan. Both Turkey and the UK were about accessing the European market. Now, with the Japan-EU free trade agreement that's come into operation, trade between the EU and Japan will be tariff-free. They no longer need a production base inside the EU customs union.
Now, there's been a lot of speculation that this decision has, at least in part, to do with Brexit. Honda, though, is keeping its European headquarters in the UK. How much of it is down to the UK leaving the EU, and how much of it has to do with the new trade deal between the EU and Japan?
Partly it's the trade deal, but I think Brexit is a factor here. Honda have been clear in warning consistently the risks that Brexit would bring for its UK manufacturing operations in terms of tariff barriers and potential customs delays, making just-in-time delivery very difficult. And there's huge uncertainty over Brexit. Honda doesn't even know whether it'll be able to operate its plant in April. And the uncertainty, I think, has finally caught up with them. No deal, I think, would be catastrophic for the UK car industry, and we would see further plant closures.
Professor David Bailey. Can high quality and fast fashion coexist? That's the question in a new report on sustainability in the fashion industry. Britain's Environmental Audit Committee thinks an extra penny on the price of all items will incentivize companies to think more about the environment and factory working conditions. The BBC's Su Ping Chan has more.
Cheap clothes from fast fashion stores may feel easy on your wallet, but British lawmakers are warning it's become a toxic trend. Mary Cray is head of the British Parliamentary Committee demanding change.
For far too long, the retail industry has been marking its own homework. So we want producers to pay for the enormous costs of clearing up the garments that they produce. At the moment, we're throwing away 1 million tonnes of clothing a year. 300,000 tonnes are going to landfill or incineration.
In fact, the fashion industry contributes more to climate change than the airline and shipping industries combined. Members of Parliament want clothing brands to pay an extra penny on every garment they sell to fund a $45 million recycling scheme. But do shoppers need a nanny when it comes to fashion advice? I asked a few for their thoughts on fast fashion.
I don't tend to buy things unless I really need them.
How long are you going to wear this jumper for?
Until it can't be worn anymore, until it literally has massive holes in it. And even then, it'll probably be more fashionable than now.
I think it's good in some ways. Like, for example, if you're going on holiday and you just want something that you're going to wear a couple of times and then throw away. So it works in that aspect.
If things are extremely cheap, it's for a reason, and somebody's paying for the cheapness in a different way.
But in the end, who actually pays? And who determines what we buy? Adam Mansell, Chief Executive of the UK Fashion and Textile Association, says the answer to both these questions is the consumer.
It's a very challenging retail environment out there. The imposition of another tax would make that even harder for those retailers and brands out there. The industry will do an awful lot to ensure that with a better use of cotton and things like that, but it is up to all of us as consumers to stop and think, do we need that extra dress? Why is that T-shirt quite so cheap and do we need it?
Tackling the industry's less fashionable side will be a balance between your wallet and the planet. In London, I'm the BBC's Suping Chan for Marketplace.
And finally, don't forget to look up at the sky tonight. You'll get a glimpse of the extraordinary supermoon. It's the biggest and brightest of the year. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.